Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For 25 years, The Moth and its radio show and storytelling events have presented thousands of true stories told live to an audience. This week, The Moth is looking for potential storytellers here in our own community. The Moth Pop-Up Porch Tours in Tulsa, today at Guthrie Green, then moving to The Gathering Place Friday through Sunday, offering potential storytellers a chance to hone a story, pitch a possible story, and learn more about how to tell your story effectively to an audience. Some of the information you'll get, you can also read about in the book, How to Tell a Story, The Essential Guide to Memorable Storytelling from The Moth, which was co-written by my guest today. Jennifer Hickson is a senior director and co-host of The Moth Radio Hour. Her story, Where There's Smoke, has been featured on the program, This American Life, as well as the book, The Moth, 50 True Stories. In fact, she started the Moth Story Slams for the group back in 2000. In fact, there will be one tonight at Living Arts. There's a limited number of tickets at the door for the event. Doors open tonight at 7 o'clock. Storytelling begins at 7:30. And she's also in our city to help Tulsans craft their stories. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Jennifer Hickson, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Wonderful to be here.
The Moth Pop-Up Porch Tour is now in Tulsa as you embark on this tour. And it really takes it back to the Moth's founder, George Dawes Green, whose vision of what the Moth should and would be. Stories told on a porch at the end of the day as the light turns to night, as the moths come out, and people share stories, gathering of family or gathering of friends. Would you share that vision with us? What was that vision exactly?
Well, as the story goes, George used to do the very same thing on a porch in Georgia, sit around and share stories with friends. You just told the story so well yourself, Rich. The moths would come out and people got a little uninterrupted time on a stage and shared their stories and communed with their friends and learned about each other, had laughs, cried with each other. And that is the moths going around the country trying to gather stories from people every place.
And the pop-up tour is doing somewhat of the same thing. It's offering help in crafting that story, but you're actually traveling around the country in a tiny house.
The tiny house, yes. Well, we're not actually sleeping in that little house. And if you visit, today we're at Village Green, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we'll be at the Gathering Place. If you come and see our little house, inside there's listening stations to listen to some stories. There's a porch swing, there's a little porch, and there's people there to receive you, hear your stories, help you work through your stories.
Now, if you're there to work on your stories, I assume you had to make an appointment, or is it just a walk-up experience?
Right now, yesterday we did it, and well, yesterday was quite hot, but we had about 100 people come by, and we had a lot of people on hand. We're traveling with a nice group, and so I don't think there were too many wait times, and we all shuffled off into little areas, tried to find a little shade, or there's just some space inside the little tiny house. And I heard many beautiful stories already. Thank you, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you discovered the moth yourself.
It was about 22 years ago. The moth is now 25 years old. And so it was pretty young still, and in New York City. And I had some friends who said, I went to this thing. It was great. It was kind of like a documentary, but live. Someone telling a story. They have to be true. And it just really intrigued me because I love documentaries and I love theater. And so I went and I fell totally in love with it. And then they needed a volunteer. They needed volunteers. I signed right up. And now it's many years later. Been here all along.
What is it that attracted you to it? Is it the idea that they're true stories? Or is it sort of hearkening back to, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you sat around and listened to the grown-ups and they would swap stories. And I don't, you know, I just don't know that we do it the same way today in our everyday life.
Right. We don't give each other enough time and space, really. Everybody's clicking where our little attention spans getting smaller and smaller. Yes, was drawn to the stories being true. I think that really helps. And just the authentic feeling of watching something come right out of somebody. Share. There's no middleman. It's just the storyteller and your ears. It's very beautiful.
pretty early on, you did your own story, which was sort of a very acclaimed story. It ended up in one of the first moth collections, and you can see it on YouTube to this day. Tell me about the process of putting yourself out there and telling that story.
Well, I was terrified. It's ironic that I talk people into telling stories all the time, and I was so very afraid myself. But as I tell people, always the first 30 seconds are very scary, but then you kind of lean into it. And if you know the beats of your story, if you know where you're beginning and where you're going, it did happen to you. You're not playing another character, and there's no one who can nail the character of you better than you. So I moved forward with the story. It was, a story about a pretty bad relationship that I had only spoken to friends with about before. And so that felt vulnerable to put that out into the world, but it's been very rewarding. So many people relate to it and took comfort in it or just felt seen because they've been in similar situations.
And putting that vulnerable side out there, that's sort of the giant leap of faith. Obviously this story connected with people. They understood that story. They may have lived that some version of that story. But putting it out there, that's first step into the abyss.
It is. Well, the first time I told it, and all moth stories start this way. They're told in front of a live audience, but and not to a, at that time, the moth didn't have a platform where it was going out into the world in this larger way, into the internet, as we do now. And so at first it was in a room with 200 people, but the room gets very quiet. They lean right in, and it may as well be one or two people when you're up there. You're just sharing your story. Now, if you have a really funny story, then you have the boom of the love coming at you, and you hear that. But when you have a serious story, you can also hear the silence. You can feel it. You can feel the people around you leaning in. Oh. It's a very warm audience. Yeah.
What the Moth Pop-Up Porch is doing in person, your book, along your co-author of How to Tell a Story, does in print. And what comes out of it is good storytelling doesn't just happen. It's crafted through a whole set of personal reflections and introspective understanding. Where do you begin in trying to tell a moth-like story? Where's the starting point in your view?
Well, I think looking for a moment of change is really great because if everything stays the same, it's not a story. That stories happen when something out of the ordinary occurs. So looking for, and then to have a story that means something to you. So we often ask, who were you at the beginning and who are you at the end? You want to have some change of opinion in your life, some change of heart. You need to be a bit of a different person after you've experienced whatever happens in the story or witnessed it. So a moment of change is really important. Finding your beginning and ending, that's a challenge. Because life just keeps going on and on. And so you need to, a story that tries to go over your entire life, it really can't work, especially in the moth style, which is where you have from 5 to 10 to 12 minutes to tell a story. So you really got to carve out a finite piece of time and bring us in there. Another tip we've been giving at the Pop-Up Porch is to make a scene. So if this was a movie, what would be the scene where maybe there wouldn't even have to be talking? Is there something the storyteller is painting the picture? So there needs to be some action, if not some dialogue, some other meaningful exchange with people, the environment. A little action. You got to be a little movie maker in your head because you're creating the movie in someone else's head.
Right. The very beginning part was one of the most interesting to me is that mining your memories. I think that's the sort of the title of that section where you're sort of asked to think about important events in your life. And a lot of times that sort of introspection, especially these days, it seems like we don't even have time for that. Can you talk about that process of sitting down and saying, what are these important moments? What are the things that have changed me? Because sometimes change is gradual. Sometimes we don't recognize it perceptibly.
Yeah, taking this inventory of your life in order to find stories. It's some liken it to therapy for sure. I've had many storytellers say to me, my therapist never asked me that. And I say, well, your therapist isn't preparing you to tell a story on stage next week. So a therapist is often trying to lead a person to discover those things on their own. And sometimes a story coach is helping you along. But of course, we have to be very gentle with that work. It's fun to go down into your memories. And sometimes someone has a story and then we say, but okay, really think about that time. Really think, when did this happen? Okay, it was 1992. What music did you like then? What were you wearing? What was it? And to bring back all those sense memories for a person, it really helps you. Not that those stories all make it into the story. Sometimes they're irrelevant, but it helps you get in touch with the person you were when it happened. Yeah. And it's great in a story to be who you were at the time of the story, to tell a story in retrospect. Later in the story, you can be retrospective and recognize things. But if you're telling a story about being eight, it's great to be eight in the story.
I remember the first moth story that really hooked me on the moth, and it was the story of a young man who was recounting a story of when he was a kid and he became the bat boy for the New York Yankees. And of course, yeah. and the players pranked him on opening day.
Right.
And and I love this sort of situation where, you know, he just assumed his 8-year-old or 9-year-old persona so wonderfully. And it was such a good natured prank that, you know, it just captured your full attention. And I guess that's what a good moth story can do.
Yes, that is a wonderful story. I'm, you know, so many stories over the years, and I am just blanking on that name. It's going to come to me in a minute. I can see the storyteller's face. That is a wonderful, fun story for people to look up. It's called Bat Boy. So if you looked up the moth, and why can't I remember his name? I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I didn't remember it either. Well, my guest today is Jennifer Hixon. She's the senior director and host, one of the hosts of the Moth Radio Hour. As part of the Moth, she launched the Moth Story Slam back in 2000. That's and still going to this day. In fact, there'll be one this evening at Living Arts. Doors open at 7 o'clock, and there's just a limited number of tickets available at the door. She's also co-author of How to Tell a Story, the essential guide to memorable storytelling from the Moth, as the Moth pop-up tour is here in Tulsa this week, at Guthrie Green today, and then at the Gathering Place this weekend. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, in mining your memories, and this is often a hallmark of a lot of moth stories, you look for the ouch. What is looking for the ouch?
Yeah, that's looking for discomfort. In moments of discomfort, we change. You have to move out of the discomfort. You have to confront something. So that's a good place to look for the things that motivate you. Sometimes painful things help you move on and change. And we're always looking for change. And ouch is also refers to vulnerability. Nobody wants to hear a story about how brave you were. In order to be brave, we also have to see that you were afraid, because otherwise you're just, you know, it's not brave if you weren't afraid. So looking for the ouch is a way to poke around in your memory to find things that were meaningful to you. Sometimes that comfort is taking another job in another city. There's pain you're leaving behind other people, or getting fired, firing somebody yourself. All these moments of discomfort are opportunities for stories, opportunities for growth, and therefore for stories.
I love there's also a little section that follows along that later in the book, which is talking about how you know, shape your story. You're looking for scars, but not wounds. I thought that was an interesting take.
Yes, that was said by one of our storytellers, Nadia Bowles Weber, and we just all loved it. She's a Lutheran minister. Yeah, because you can tell when someone's telling a story from an open wound, they're not ready yet to share that with a lot of people, or at least not for the sake of entertainment. Maybe sharing it might be great in a support group or something, but you might not be ready to share yet. But once something's scarred over, you're healed up, then you're ready to talk about it and go in again and bring it to people. So yeah, it's a good metaphor.
And as you're putting your story together, you moth folks encourage the storyteller to find a single sentence. And the example you use in the book is really interesting. Ellie Lee wrote a story about a 5-alarm fire in Boston's Chinatown. Her father was really important in the community. He was a grocer, and his place of business caught on fire. And it gave her a new understanding of how important her father, and she was sort of embarrassed by, you know, this grocer and, you know, the whole idea of, you know, being a grocer on a ground floor in a city. And it gave her a new understanding of how important he was to the community. And her one sentence was, "It took a disaster for me to appreciate the important role my father played in our community." Can you talk about finding that sentence in a story?
Well, Ellie's story was so interesting because there's so many amazing, exciting details in it. It's a 5-alarm fire. Also, because it was a Chinese grocery, there were many fireworks there. And so during the fire, then all the fireworks were going off during the fire. But the grocery also was fed the community and had all the specialty items that people loved from their homeland, and was a meeting place for many people, because you couldn't get those items many other places in Boston at the time. So there's that story. There's the action of a fire, all that visual excitement of a fire. And then there's the story of Ellie seeing all the people come to her father afterwards and donating money to try, please, you have to make your store happen again. Please, we need to be able to meet here. We have to get this fixed up. And she sees him in a whole other light after that happened.
And that gets to another sort of important step in moth storytelling. And that there's stakes involved. There's something at stake. In this case, yes, a community. But that idea that, you know, there's something deeper at play within the story is very important to it being a success as a moth story, as opposed to just an anecdote. I think that's the biggest sort of difference between a moth story. You know, an anecdote, it's charming, it's amusing, it might be somewhat thought-provoking in a little way, but there's no real stakes involved. And in a moth story, you know, you're in there with that person as they're telling their story, whether it's a serious story, a heartbreaking story, or, you know, a very funny story.
You're absolutely, Rich, you read this book. Thank you. I think you're ready to come over to the pop-up porch with us and coach some people through their stories. You're so good. Thank you.
We'll talk about that idea that looking at a story for what are the stakes, because a lot of people might not even recognize the stakes involved in the story they're wanting to tell.
Yeah. What did you want? What was the outcome going to be? What would happen if you acted or if you didn't act? Those are all, yeah, you want to. There needs to be something where people, where you make people wonder what happened next. You want the listener to be invested in you and what you want. And what you want are the stakes, or what you want to avoid are the stakes. And that's the storyteller's job, is to get everybody on board so we'll follow you along in the story.
One of the things the moth does is it works with people from all walks of life, but you also involve celebrities. Is it different working with celebrities? I mean, do you feel like, do you go through the same process with them as they're telling their story?
Yes. I mean, I think the main thing working with celebrities is they have handlers who don't give you access to them sometimes. Yeah. So they have handlers and people who provide layers of protection. And so sometimes it's tough to get through those walls to get the hour you need on the phone with them. But then once you're on the phone and it's just the two of you, or sometimes there are people listening, okay, fine. But then the work is the same as with everybody. Yeah.
What are some of the common pitfalls in choosing a story to tell?
Well, some people want to look great in their story all the time. So that would be afraid to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They want to be the good guy. And meanwhile, you know, it's great. It's fun to hear a story about someone who's winning. But, you know, we all side with the person who's losing. Come on. That's something. It's hard sometimes to relate with people like, I won the amazing award. Okay, a few people can relate with that, but like, I was turned down for the amazing one. Okay, we're with you. Everybody can relate with feeling alone or feeling worried or having anxiety, those things. Another one, it would be circling the drain. Sometimes we'll call it, you want to end your story very succinctly. It's really, we always advise that you understand, that you know your first line and your last line of your story. We don't suggest people really memorize everything word for word, because that really can trip you up. Mm-hmm. You know this story, so you can just move through it. But it is great to know where you're going to end, because sometimes there's like 17 endings on the end of a story, and you're like, okay, we're about to clap. Oh, nope, there's more. So it's really great to know, okay, stick the landing, as they say to the gymnasts.
And of course, when you tell a moth story, you're telling it from memory. You're doing it with no notes. And I'm guessing occasionally you kind of veer off the road, maybe occasionally, maybe yes. Take a side trip.
Yeah, occasionally people forget where they are. And it's beautiful, actually. The audience is always really with you. They're just clapping, like, you got this, come on. And you can see the little panic on someone's face, but then you can see them, okay, there's where I was, great. Sometimes it helps if someone yells out, like, remember, you were at the grocery store. Okay, and then they're like, right, the grocery store. And then they move on from there. But that's what happens in regular storytelling, right? And I was like, what were we saying? So it's very natural to lose your place sometimes, and that's okay. And another thing we say, sometimes you forget a detail that's kind of important to the plot. And our suggestion for that is to say, like, oh, I forgot to tell you this before, but yeah. You know, Gerald had just gotten out of jail, you know, oh, okay. You know, whatever.
That changes our perspective of Gerald. Yes, exactly. Well, it's also interesting that, you know, you're real master storytellers will take you down this road, and they completely intend to go down that side path. And, mm-hmm. you know, and when they're, you know, a really great storyteller will take us down, and we're, you know, as listeners, we're going, okay, how does this relate to the story? And then all of a sudden we're back on the main story. And then maybe we take another side path, and then all of a sudden it weaves itself together and we understand those sort of digressions, if you will. Yes. Is that something?
That's a raconteur. That's a raconteur. That's a next level storyteller.
Yeah. But oftentimes you have storytellers that will blend two stories together. And that really takes that sense of, okay, I'm telling you two stories and here's how they fit together, and just making it work within the time frame and our attention span. That's a real hard thing to do, I would think.
That is a beautiful skill. Although it's happening all the time, right? We're all living many stories at the same time. But if you can have two that feel really different and then intersect, yeah, that's just delightful. And you can, sometimes a storyteller will plant a little detail that seems incidental, and then it'll come back at the end and be, you know, very important. So yeah, that's really fun. That's kind of next level, you know, you don't have to, at the beginning, you don't have to go that way, but eventually it's fun to play with that sort of thing.
My guest today is Jennifer Hixon. She's a senior director and one of the hosts of the Moth Radio Hour, one of the hosts. And the Moth pop-up tour is in Tulsa this week at Guthrie Green Today, the gathering place this weekend. You can just check it out. Or if you have a story that's been in the back of your mind, you might talk to some of the folks at the Moth and they'll help you start to craft it. And there's, of course, a Moth Story Slam tonight at Living Arts. The doors open at 7. There's just a limited number of door tickets available for that this evening. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you mentioned the Moth pop-up porch tour a little bit, but what exactly, you know, what are people who come in, are they looking to craft a story, or is it just sort of the beginnings of crafting a story, or can you really get a lot done in maybe 30, 40 minutes?
People, well, we, yesterday, the people who came in, I spent 10 minutes with some people and 20 minutes with other people. We have a little sheet we hand out, a little story map, which is something that's also in the book to help people look at their, make a little map of their story. That's helpful for some people. We also are recording the pitches. And really what this is, we, when we looked at our giant story database, and there's, you know, 100,000 stories in there now over all these 25 years, many, many stories. And we, one of my colleagues is really data driven, and Jennifer Birmingham, and she made this great heat map of where all these stories came from. And we were kind of missing some. We didn't have too many from Oklahoma. So we decided, we partnered with GM, and they helped us bring, we're coming to you to gather your stories. And we collected 100 pitches yesterday. So after we talked with the, with each person for a little bit, we said, okay, record a little pitch here. So we have a little storage of your voice and the idea for your story. And we generated many great story ideas so that when we're looking to cast our shows, we will be able to say like, hey, remember that woman in Oklahoma? Yeah, she'd be perfect for that theme. Let's call her up. We have her number here. Great. So we do have a pitch line where people can call us from all over the country, but we didn't have a lot of Oklahoman pitches. Well, so that's why we're here.
And the tour is going through the South, which really is surprising to me because I think of Southerners as always telling stories. We're a storytelling tradition in the South a lot of times.
Absolutely. We need, there's too many New York accents on there, right? We need the other, the middle of the country here. We want to hear these stories. And they're so, they're similar and so different too. Yeah, I'm really excited. The stories, some of the stories I heard yesterday were just beautiful.
All right. Well, you can visit the Moth Pop-Up Porch today at Guthrie Green or the Gathering Place this weekend. And, of course, the Moth Story Slam takes place this evening. Doors open at 7, just a limited number of tickets. And, of course, you can listen to the Moth this Saturday and every Saturday here on Public Radio. Jennifer, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rich Fisher. This was amazing. And I remembered the guy's name. It's Matt McGough. He is the Yankee bat boy. So right. If anyone wants to look up that story, it's really great.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Hixon is a senior director and co-host of the Moth Radio Hour. She is also the co-author of How to Tell a Story, the essential guide to memorable storytelling from the Moth. She's also here in Tulsa as a part of the Moth Pop-Up Porch Tour, which is in Tulsa this week at Guthrie Green today from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and the same hours this weekend at the Gathering Place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's also a Moth Story Slam tonight at Living Arts. The doors open at 7 o'clock with just a limited number of door tickets available. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.